Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So Randall and David have been having a fascinating discussion. I won't say necessarily a debate, but a discussion about the theory of a collective unconscious as an explanation for UFOs, specifically the Father William Gill case from 1959 and its implications in other cases, and how even some going back to biblical days may have been involved. David, you want to answer Randall's comment?
Let's hear it again.
Well, we were talking about two possibilities, and one was that what was seen in the, if we're to take the experience of Ezekiel as being a genuine experience by a genuine person who actually lived, to be either a product of his imagination, perhaps accentuated maybe by some sort of hallucinogenic of the day, or that maybe he actually really did just see something that resembled wheels within wheels, like a gyroscope that had faces around the edges, and those could be interpreted as portals with beings looking out, and the legs that were like pillars could be interpreted as landing gear. Maybe I should just go all the way to the core of this question. Do you believe in any reality of a deity that is a manifestation and a separate entity from us as human beings on this world? Or is it all just this sort of inner projection of our own psyche?
I do not believe in any God as conventionally envisioned.
Please elaborate. This is fascinating. And by the way, Gene is absolutely right. Like, you and I are just having a fascinating discussion where we're doing, you know, sort of a bit of point, counterpoint, bringing in different ideas, but I'm just having a wonderful time with it, and I hope you are too.
Oh, I am. You are just an incredibly stimulating, both of you are incredibly stimulating conversation partners. And I think we all can agree on one thing. We don't have the answers.
Yeah, that's the truth. No doubt about that.
I have a way, a direction in which I look for the answers, but I find a lot of mysteries en route in that. Now, why do I not believe in God in any conventional sense? Because I do not see any evidence in the world around me, in the history I read, that there is any guiding power. And it seems to me that if we are to conceive a God in any way like the Judeo-Christian Islamic God, it would have to be something that guides, that controls the events of history. You know, I mean, it's the old question going back to Job, why do the righteous suffer? And the question is only an intellectual question if there is a just God. Delete the just God and you still have the question, but it becomes not an intellectual topic for discourse, but rather an anguished cry of the human soul. That in a nutshell, we can come back to that. That in a nutshell is the God I don't believe. Now, what God do I believe in? Well, this is all very tentative, but it seems to me that Freud developed, I won't say he innovated, but he developed the idea that we all have an unconscious that controls far more of our conscious thought and behavior than we're willing to admit. Jung took that a step further, and I am willing to go with Jung. I think Freud is often very helpful, but I would go with Jung that there is an addition to the individual unconscious, a collective unconscious that we share as a species, and perhaps more specifically as a culture. Now, is it conceivable that there is a third unconscious that incorporates, encompasses the Jungian unconscious, the way the Jungian unconscious incorporates and embraces the Freudian unconscious, perhaps call it a cosmic unconscious? which is in its own way very conscious in that it thinks. Now, if there is that greater unconscious, what is the distinction between that and God? I am not sure.
Well, how about the idea that, and this is something I get into with religious and non-religious people. Personally, I'm non-religious, so I tend to look at gods as being something that has been deified. So whether that's a material object, like some sort of an idol, or it's an idea, either way, once it goes through this process of deification, then it becomes a god to the person or group that has deified it. So in other words, even if there is, let's say, a universe maker, which sort of is our, like what you, I would assume to be what you mean by sort of our conventional god.
Yes.
Even if there is a universe maker, my question is, well, why should we deify a universe maker?
I think the answer to that question has to be that there is something more than the object that we deify. There is something in us that we intuitively recognize as superhuman, us but more than us, that we project onto the idol or onto the watchmaker, as the deists used to envision the creator, or onto the sacred object, that the power comes from within us. So that I think your question is an excellent one, and my answer would be projection, and it comes down to the same thing with the UFO.
Yeah, in a lot of cases, I mean, this is what a lot of people say, too, is that ufology has a lot of parallels with religion in that we look to the aliens to solve many of our, what we believe are our most serious personal problems and crises.
I think it has a great deal more to do with religion. I mean, that I would take that as my fundamental premise, that the UFO is a religious phenomenon, that a UFO encounter is a bona fide religious experience. And by bona fide, I mean an encounter with something unknown within us, albeit projected onto the outside.
Okay, but then it seems to me, though, we do need to differentiate to some extent this idea of the non-religious from the religious, because I don't consider myself to be religious in any way, shape, or form. So when we see something like a UFO through the eyes of Ra'el, if you know who the Ra'elians are,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's a religious interpretation. They have deified Ra'el. They have deified the UFO. I might say, well, if that UFO was real, the one that he went into and the alien that he talked to, I'd just say, well, they're just other beings that live on other planets who have some kind of technology that is greater than ours. But why would that give me cause to kneel down and worship it?
I would agree with you. That's why I look for something inside ourselves that evokes that sense, and I'll use the Jungian word, of the numinous, that there is some power in this that we cannot explain but can only encounter.
Well, that kind of brings us back to this idea that you touched on before, where you alluded to the cargo cults. You know, their deification of aircraft was just based on their lack of knowledge about what it really was.
Yeah, there it's really pretty simple.
So why shouldn't it be sort of the same thing, but just projected further into the future, where we're just dealing with something that we don't understand yet, but might well be within our grasp at some point in the future?
Let me see if I understand your question. Why not say that when we see a UFO, we are confronted with something not currently within our grasp, but at least theoretically subject to scientific investigation? Did I understand you correctly?
Sure. I would say that's a pretty much one-to-one interpretation.
Yeah.
Let's have you do your answer in the next segment. We're running over time. More to come with David, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Fascinating back and forth here about the unconscious origins, possibly, of UFOs. And after Randall's comment, David had a response. Go ahead.
We were talking a bit about cargo cults, and
I'm back with us. It's really an interesting point, because from the point of view of the Papuans, there would be no way to know. did you imagine? Well, I guess you could say that the cargo landed, the cargo was discharged, it was disgorged, it was tangible. Whether the Americans shared it with you or not, you could see them eating it, that it acted entirely according to what you would normally expect of physical reality. But the only way to absolutely show that that is true is from outside the culture, where we know what cargo was. And we know what the airplanes were. So that's what I would say about the cargo cults. Now, about the UFOs, I do not see that there's anything in the physical reality of our world that becomes more explicable if you say the UFOs are there. I mean, no one has gotten anything that might be a portion of a UFO that, when analyzed, turns out to be anything other than mundane. Now, well, back in 2017, when Ralph Blumenthal was writing, that wrote the initial articles for the New York Times that revealed the Navy UFO videos, he appeared on MSNBC and said that alloys had been retrieved, which were analyzed and shown to be of otherworldly origin, or at least not explicable as standard earthly metals. But that was the last we ever heard of them.
You see, that's also very interesting here. Regardless of what you think about UFOs, we hear about materials allegedly recovered in connection with the sighting, and we never hear anything more about them that's significant. We'll go back, for example, to Roger Lear, Dr. Roger Lear, a foot surgeon, as a matter of fact. He collected so-called artifacts that people possibly had implanted in them from UFO abductions. And unfortunately, none of them so far have turned out to be anything unusual or weird. But you see, it also gets back, if we're going to mention the coverage by the Times, they're talking about the Tic Tac UFOs.
Yeah.
And the question would be then, if it's all in their head, what were these pilots seeing, and what did they photograph, and what did they track on radar?
Okay, now I'm going to say something that I have never been able to get clear, and maybe you can help me get it clear. I have never been able to get it clear to what extent the pilots claimed to have seen something with their own eyes as opposed to the cameras. I know David Fravor said that he saw some object, but apart from Fravor, has anyone else made that claim?
Yes. According to Fravor, he and the person with him in his aircraft, as well as the people in the other aircraft that were with him on the mission, also saw it. And so that's definitely more than one person.
Did we have any independent attestation, that is, other than Fravor's word for it?
It's been difficult to find them. I've run across them to know whether or not they're perfectly accurate or not. I'd have to say, well, we'd need to look it up and verify it. But from everything I've understood, and given Fravor's credibility, I think it's pretty safe to say. I mean, he was the squadron commander, so he ought to know, right?
Okay, but look, I've been very much influenced by Mick West on this. That West did a series of videos in which he tries to explain, I think, that the Tic Tac is a weather balloon.
Oh, and yes. Mick West, definitely. Yes. In fact, I posted those on the Paracast community forums not long ago, and I think he makes some really good points. But what we have to realize there is that the pictures that were taken, those videos, are not the same craft that were seen visually by Fravor and his people. So we have this confusion of, well, what was actually seen and what was actually photographed. And personally, I don't put much stock in the videos. I don't see anything really that unusual about them. Not only that, what you were saying about Mick West, he provides a pretty convincing explanation for at least the GoFast video by way of trigonometry. I mean, it's just, to me, it's obvious. it's not a UFO. And by UFO, I mean some sort of alien craft.
Yeah. And West put up a post in which he located, I think, something on the web from Fravor, in which Fravor brags about having scared a group of campers for entertainment by swooping down close to them so as to appear like a UFO.
That's interesting. Well, I've heard of those Top Gun pilots doing that in the past.
They watch the movie with Tom Cruise, Top Gun, too often.
So I think if the case rests on Fravor's word, it's to me it's fairly shaky.
Well, I don't get that from him at all. I really don't think he's making it up. No, I'd say he's probably the most reliable, believable witness I've ever seen in a UFO case. But what the object was is still in question. We are not entirely sure, and there are other possible explanations for it. So I kind of go with the rule of thumb, well, if we could explain it through our own technology in some way, shape, or form, even if it seems a little bit advanced and not generally known to the public, like a combination of radar spoofing and 3D projecting with whether it's particle devices like lasers or whatever, that it could be an advanced countermeasures device, something like that, that they just can't tell us about and maybe even didn't know themselves. And there are a number of kind of curious things about that whole encounter that make me think that that's more likely than an alien craft.
You know, I want to just mention something here before we go to a response from David. There's a disconnect here. So we have the Senate Intelligence Committee being interested. We have Senator Marco Rubio, who may or may not be head of that committee come 2021, depending on those two runoff elections in Georgia. It's very complicated for those of you who are listening from other countries. Don't ask me to explain anything, except we have a Pentagon UAP task force looking, quote unquote, into items that may present a possible threat to national security. And obviously they're taking the matter seriously. But if we have something that's just a mental projection or a balloon or something conventional, why are they taking it seriously? I don't see that. More to come with David, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States has reported nearly 200,000 new coronavirus cases in a single day. About 195,000 new cases were reported on Friday, a new single-day high. That pushed the seven-day average of new cases to over 166,000. The U.S. has now passed 12 million total coronavirus cases since the beginning of the pandemic. There is some good news in the fight against COVID tonight, as an experimental treatment for COVID-19 has gained emergency authorization from the Food and Drug Administration. The antibody treatment developed by Regeneron is authorized for the treatment of mild to moderate COVID-19 in adults. Treatment had been praised by President Trump and was one of the therapeutics that he received while he was hospitalized after contracting the virus back in October. Earlier this month, emergency authorization was also given to a similar drug being developed by drug maker Eli Lilly. This is USA Radio News. As coronavirus cases have been rising across the country, there is hope at recent announcements about two upcoming vaccines. And with that, could door-to-door vaccinations become a thing?
Pfizer and BioNTech have both submitted a request to the FDA for their COVID-19 vaccine to be granted emergency use authorization. Pfizer has said their two-shot vaccine is 95% effective. That company is on track to produce 50 million doses by the end of 2020 and 1.3 billion doses in 2021. BioNTech CEO Uğur Şahin says filing for emergency use authorization in the U.S. is a critical step in making their vaccine candidate available to the global population as quickly as possible. The rush to market can be concerning for consumers as the nation faces another potential lockdown, meaning vaccines will then be distributed in closely controlled quarters or door-to-door in home, leaving those normally not at risk now exposed to the virus. From the Texas USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
David Halpern is joining us, and we're talking now about the recent interest in UFOs generated by the fact that the government admits it's investigating it. There's a committee now that will supposedly report after 6 months to the status of what they've done. And we have the Tic Tac UFOs. And it comes down to this, David Halpern. Dealing with collective unconscious is something way out of the Pentagon's radar. So is it possible it is what you say it is? Maybe there's a conventional explanation for the Tic Tac UFO photo, but because it's not in their radar, they're taking it seriously as possibly a physical phenomenon to be investigated?
Yeah. I think there is a gut intuitive sense that there's something important about the UFO, and I will reveal, you know, my full hand of cards here that I think that this summer, this dreadful summer of 2020, has been a time when UFOs have taken particular importance because we are experiencing a genuine alien invasion. Except not, of course, UFO, but COVID.
Right, yes. And last time you were on the show, this was really interesting, too. I posed the question, well, if that's the case, and we have all of this extra psychic energy going on around death and dying, shouldn't there be more UFO sightings? And guess what? There are.
I mean, I know Bryce Zabel, who writes blog posts on this, and whose approach is totally different from mine, has called 2020 the summer of the saucers. And he sees this as a precursor of disclosure. And the second part I, of course, disagree with him about. But the first part I do agree with him. I think there is something going on with the UFO now that I think is rooted in this sense of alien menace that we all experience.
Mention to our listeners, by the way, Bryce Abel has been an occasional presence on the Paracast. He's a former CNN correspondent who became a film and TV producer. He created the UFO-oriented sci-fi show in the 90s called Dark Skies and maintains a pretty healthy interest in the subject. He's also the co-author of AD After Disclosure with Richard Dolan, and that's about the scenario that it is disclosed that UFOs are alien visitors, and what's going to happen to our society after that. That's what the book is about. Go ahead, David.
Yes, and as a religious studies professor, I would say that reveals a religious dimension of it, AD After Disclosure. And in one of his posts, he says that it contrasts with BC, before confirmation.
Well, that does, of course, have a religious connection, yes. Now, in your lengthy review in your blog about the movie The Phenomenon, you mentioned a couple other cases. And maybe
yes,
we could get into those in our waning moments here to get a sense further about where you stand. The one in Zimbabwe, of course, is something that he dealt with at great length in the movie towards the latter part of it. Maybe
yes,
go into that one.
Well, I can tell you I find it absolutely fascinating. In many ways baffling. And if you want to watch a video of an impressive UFO witness, then watch Salma Siddiq, who was interviewed by Martin Willis on his podcast UFO back in 2017. And you're just blown away with her intelligence, her articulateness, and her conviction that something powerful and transformative happened to some 60 kids at the Ariel School near Harare, Zimbabwe, on September 16th, 1994. And I completely share her conviction that something powerful happened. I don't think it is what they thought it was. I don't think that the things that they saw had any tangible existence. And yet, as I think a creation of the students at the school, akin to the joint creation of Father Gill's manned disks, I think there is something real happening. I would say that I think it's probably rooted in the tensions of what was going on in Zimbabwe at the time, which I am trying to get clearer on. I find myself at a great disadvantage since I do not know a bunch about the history and culture of Zimbabwe beyond what I guess all of us know from reading the newspapers. But it does seem to me clear that there was some considerable tension at the school at the time. And I think the shared vision was a way of dealing with it and perhaps unifying the students at the school. I do not know if you want me to say anything more about that.
Well, I think it's interesting. It's a super interesting case, like you say. It's the case itself is absolutely fascinating. What we're dealing with when it happened were mainly children. Later on, there was one of the teachers did finally admit that they had seen it too and believed the children because she had seen these things as well. So it wasn't just children. But
in which case, I'm mistaken.
Yeah, but some of these children had gotten so close to the entity or being that they could see these black eyes, and they started to get visions within their mind, like almost a telepathic sort of communication about taking better care of the world, and that if humanity doesn't do a better job of taking care of the world, it is going to really run into a lot of problems in the future. I think that these ideas and this sort of an experience really does fit into your paradigm.
I mean, I don't think it will work for the assumption that we're dealing with extraterrestrial visitors. Since if we're going to posit extraterrestrial visitors who want to warn humanity about the devastating consequences of our hyper-technology, I really would not do so with a group of middle school age kids at a school very far removed from the centers of world power. I would, as the conventional phrase goes, land on the White House lawn and announce to the people there that they must take better care of the earth. But if we...
Yeah, you make such an excellent point there. And it's one of the same ones I've been making for years, too. It's like, and Gene as well. I mean, why is it always, you know, these mysterious backwoods encounters with people who hold really no position or sway in terms of world affairs that get told these messages?
After I posted the third part of my review of the phenomenon, a reader named Lawrence put in an extremely interesting comment in which he said that interviewed on Mysterious Universe, James Fox said that the beings whom the children saw modeled their actions, their movements on the children, which makes good sense if they're somehow projections of the children, not such good sense if they're interplanetary visitors. And then my mind skitters back to William Booth Gill on Saturday night, June 27th, which I've not spoken about yet. He and the Papuans wave to the beings aboard, or I would say the human beings aboard the UFOs, and there seemed no doubt, he wrote, that our movements were answered.
We'll be back with David Halpern. Yes. And Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product fact I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never not once been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have longevity.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We're here with David Halperin talking about his conclusions about UFOs being manifestations of a collective unconscious and mentioning two of the key sightings that were depicted in the James Fox documentary, The Phenomenon. And by the way, another guest has joined us to become part of the panel, Morgan Knudsen. Hi, Morgan.
Hey, how are you guys?
She's going to lurk as David continues the discussion, but she may have some things to say. So, David, you dovetailed back to the second part of the Father Gill case where the entities appeared to mimic their movements because that's what happened in Zimbabwe. Go ahead.
Yes, it seems to me a remarkable parallel, especially since I see some sort of a similar function. I think that's the best word for it, at the Ariel School and at the Boyanai Mission, of drawing together those elements that seem to be coming apart. And I do think that the Ariel School, as it was originally conceived, was coming apart in 1994. And I can fill that in a bit more if you'd like.
Yes, please. Sure. Please explain to our listeners. I know that many will want to check your blog and we'll tell them where to find it. But for those listeners who are just curious for more information now, go ahead.
Okay, now I have to qualify this by saying that what I know or think I know about the Ariel School is based on one or two bits of raw data in their website, plus listening to interviews with the witnesses of 1994 who are now grown. One to two that I listened to were women. Well, the impression I have is this, that in 1991, the school was founded as a deliberate experiment in integration of black and white, of Christian and Muslim and Shona, one of the major native cultures. Looking at the videos from the school that are in the phenomenon, I am struck by the easy and comfortable interactions among white children, black children, this being in a country that was explicitly white supremacist only a couple of decades earlier. And from what I can gather, the school was founded as a deliberate counter to the tendency in Zimbabwe at the time for whites to found public schools as a way of keeping whites segregated from blacks. Apparently, things took a bad turn in the mid-90s. And I say apparently because this is just what I can glean from what these witnesses have said. One of them says that she was also interviewed by Martin Willis on Podcast UFO. She says that Zimbabwe was in chaos at the time, and that, perhaps a bit inconsistently, that after 1995, things started going south, and apparently the white families left. If you look at the photos from the website, the student body is now exclusively black. And this is what I mean about the school coming apart. And my guess is, this is my hypothesis, that the students felt that this harmonious world that had been created for them was disintegrating. And they created this shared vision as a way of responding to it.
That is really interesting. I'd like to bring Morgan into this with a couple of comments as well, because one of the things that you two both have in common, and welcome to the show, Morgan.
Thank you.
Is that you both have a great amount of caring for the people who are undergoing these kinds of experiences, this disintegration. It could be a family disintegration. It could be deaths in the families. And that in both cases, we find that young people are having these paranormal experiences. Morgan, in your case, you're dealing with sort of basing the presumption on that maybe there is another side, there really are these entities, and children might be having these experiences, or perhaps not. But in both cases, children seem to have these imaginary friends that seem to pop into their lives at times when they're undergoing these kinds of stress. Do you both, or am I wrong, do you both find that this is something that happens?
Yeah, I mean, I know for myself, I see this frequently when I'm dealing with various clients and whatnot. And I think it happens for a couple of different reasons, you know, whether that person has, created something to fill a void, or whether that void is actually being filled with something else. But we know, you know, as we go through our lives, wherever there is a void, that the universe tends to fill that up. And what I have found is that, I think sometimes we take for granted the ability that we have to create and manifest the things that we need, whether it be, you know, a person coming into our life, or whether it be, you know, something coming from the inside out to fill that void. And kids, you know, they're never taught that this stuff shouldn't be happening or should be happening. Their imaginations are really free of a lot of cumbersome beliefs that we have. And I found that to be a sort of a overarching theme through my research.
David?
So I would ask Morgan, first of all, Morgan, I'm delighted to be on this panel with you. And
you too. Same here.
But I would ask you the great crux, the great problem that I've been working around is, okay, that I can see that a lot of these UFO sightings, which I prefer to call visions, are creations, projections of the witnesses, and yet they seem to be creating or projecting much the same thing. And I'm wondering if in the kids that you've worked with, do you have, first of all, people who have the kind of vivid experience, sense of experiencing these entities that we find in UFO sightings, and do they ever share them?
Yeah, I have. And what tends to be interesting, at least in the haunting phenomenon, is that, you know, people will have, there will be multiple people in the room that not only experience it once, twice, three times, but over a long period of time. And so we get the ones that are completely consistent, but then we'll get the incidents where everybody will see something, but will see it in a different light maybe than the person next to them. So for instance, you know, they might all see, say, the figure of maybe a grandfather who's passed away, but they might see him at different ages, and they all report seeing him, but they report a different version of him. So that's is always really interesting too.
How do you account for their seeing something that seems to be essentially the same, even though with variations?
You know, I don't think anybody's really come to a solid conclusion about it, but my own theory about it is that, you know, I think we interpret our world through various filters. And, you know, I think when we're all translating light and all of, you know, these images and these, like, visions, I love the term visions, you know, in a different way, in the same way that, you know, you can ask somebody, you know, what color are you seeing? Well, you're seeing the color blue, somebody else sees the color purple. And I kind of wonder if it has something to do with, you know, not only maybe a physiological reason, but also the filters emotionally that they're carrying as well.
Hey. Okay. I mean, at Ariel, the children, the thing that struck me from seeing the drawings, particularly in the phenomenon, is how frightening these beings were. They don't seem to be comforting at all. And to me, at least, it's completely clear that they're modeled after the cover of Whitley Strieber's Communion.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think you're spot on with that. You know, I think when we've got, you know, especially that case specifically, I think you're right on. And I've found that it's sort of split, at least in the world of ghosts and hauntings, where the majority of people see something as very positive. I think the statistics are something like 80%+ feel that their experience was a positive thing for them.
Morgan Knudsen joins us with David Halpern and Gene Steinberg and J. Randall Murphy. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.